When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they would love to hear from you. Give them a call, +44 1273 733 433. Or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact, or you can speak to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be happy to help. Now, today I am joined again by Andy Houston, Product Director at Crimtan. Andy, this is part two of a double episode. We talked last time about what you were doing at Crimtan. We talked about programmatic display advertising and specifically GDPR and what that means in terms of programmatic display advertising. And we also talked about some of the fallout. What I want to talk about this time is kind of a piece of legislation that might have been overlooked that's coming in the future. Tell us a bit about that. It's EPR, isn't it?
It is, yes. So thanks very much for having me back for part two. So EPR is about the electronic privacy regulation. So there have been a number of pieces of directive underneath the auspices of something called the Privacy and Electronic Communications Regulation, or the PECA, as it's fondly called
that,
within the industry.
That sounds slightly rude to me, Andy.
It does. Well, it's not meant to be. You know, that is the general acronym. And unfortunately, ad tech is full of acronyms. So, you know, maybe we should move on from that. The PECA directives were purely just directives. So it was an indication on how people should be doing stuff. And again, could be interpreted in many different ways on how actually that would be, you know, sort of implemented. So the Electronic Privacy Regulation, or the EPR, slightly less rude, was meant to come in at the same time of GDPR, but there were so many pieces to it that the powers that be within the EEA decided to delay it whilst a number of the articles were amended. But actually, where GDPR was around personal data, as we discussed in part one, EPR is actually about the use of cookies and about the use of tracking. Uh-huh. And actually has far wider implications, not just in programmatic display advertising, but also in, you know, the way users are tracked across the web in general. So, you know, GDPR was, you know, a reset button. But let's actually talk about what's going to happen, you know, sort of now. And I think, you know, GDPR heralded a new dawn in the data transparency. But what EPR about is really about three fundamental things. The first one is it's about no data processing without consent. So in the previous part, I talked about the legal means of processing, of which two were relevant, you know, within the industry that I work in. So legitimate interest and consent, and the use of pop-ups for, you know, sort of consent. Some people have gone along the route of legitimate interest, but what EPR is doing, it will clearly state that you cannot process any data relating to a user without the consent of the user. So legitimate interest as a reason will no longer stack up in this new world. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is this whole concept of, you know, I mean, I talked in the last part about privacy first, but this is privacy by default. So simple protection against online tracking in general. So I don't know how familiar, you know, the readers or yourself, Andy, are with, you know, SIP cookies and the way they work.
But well, let's quickly go over that. Just a brief primer on tracking cookies, if that's all right.
Yeah. So without going into too much complexity, there are kind of two broad types of cookies. There are first party cookies and third party cookies. Now, first party cookies are and can come in a number of forms. But ultimately, what I mean by first party is it's related to the domain that the user is on.
Yeah.
So as such, can only be used when the user is on that domain.
Yeah.
Now, you know, an example of you know, a first party cookie might be a cookie that's used to pass information throughout a checkout process. So, mm-hmm. you know, if I have a two-stage checkout process and I put my address into the first stage and my email address, and I then go into the next stage to put in payment information, a cookie will be used to store that information on a temporary basis so that when I click the place order after putting in my credit card details, all the information can be passed back to the server to, you know, do the authentication and place the order at the same time. So that's a really good example of a first-party cookie. Not wanting to layer on too much complexity, actually, that is a really good example of an essential cookie. So EPR talks about essential and non-essential cookies, and it talks about, you know, like essential cookies being something that you don't require consent for. So
yes,
users on the checkout process, a business will not have to ask consent to use a cookie to pass that information to complete a checkout process.
Yes.
However, there is this concept of non-essential cookies. And the reason why I talked about first party and third party is that actually third party cookies, which is what is used by a lot of businesses in analytics and reporting, you know, for the purposes of relevant advertising. And certainly in my industry, throughout the entire supply chain, third party cookies are definitely non-essential cookies. Now, EPR says that for non-essential cookies, you will require consent for them, and you are not allowed to drop any non-essential cookies without first getting consent and permission from the user. So what this will mean is that, you know, the way that it currently works is you say, you know, I mean, you're getting all these pop-ups for GDPR asking permission and accepting all, is that if actually you don't accept all, then those cookies cannot be dropped at all. So that's the first thing.
And when you say dropped, Andy, do you mean sort of like stored in the browser from the yes. website? Yes.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely clear. So dropped on the browser. The second piece, which is even more serious, really, is that for the browsers that you use when you're you know, sort of looking at websites, all of them will be required to have opt-out of non-essential cookies by default.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know whether any of you are familiar with the way Safari currently behaves, but Safari deletes all third-party cookies within 24 hours. And in a release in November last year, Safari also ensured that data from third-party cookies could not be transferred out of the browser during a browser session.
Right.
And Safari aptly named that the Intelligent Tracking Prevention System, or the ITP. So what it means actually is that it's very difficult to track users within the Safari browser at all. Now, EPR and its ramifications mean that all browsers will actually behave like Safari. So the ability to track users using third-party cookies is going to become very, very difficult when this legislation is passed. And actually, only yesterday, Mozilla actually did a release to say that they are moving to being an anti-tracking browser. So what this means is that actually by default, in, you know, from any new browser installation from today, Firefox browsers will automatically opt out of third-party cookies unless you choose to go into the settings and change those settings to accept it. But then I guess the question then becomes for the industry, when is a consumer actually going to do that?
Mm.
So those are broadly, you know, sort of the risks that we face with the new legislation coming through. And, you know, I mean, I've seen changes like this before in other marketing channels. In, you know, part one, I talked about the fact that I've been in and around, you know, digital commerce for around 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think rather than trying to circumnavigate or ignore these challenges, you know, there is an opportunity now for brands to embrace it and, you know, as they should be doing already, put the customer at the center of everything they do. You know, and if a customer knows what you are doing with data, so you're giving them the transparency on how data is used and what is stored under GDPR, and you're asking their permission, then, you know, there is, you know, sort of no change. However, that doesn't negate the fact that all browsers are going to be deleting third-party cookies anyway. So even if the user has given you consent for a third-party cookie, it's very likely that the browser isn't going to allow a business to drop that in the first place. So, so I think, you know, there needs to be a seismic shift away from the reliance on third-party cookies for the purpose of tracking. I mean, I guess there's a bonus, and that is that, you know, sort of explicit consent under this new legislation is yours forever, unless under the rights of individuals, under GDPR, the user chooses to take that away. So, you know, it delivers you actually the opportunity to build a far more meaningful relationship with the customer, not just through your display channel, but through any channel, and engaging and interacting with them on lots of different levels. So I talked in part one about lots of the different formats and makeups of programmatic display. You know, once you have this consent and you have a mechanism to track a user that is not reliant on third-party cookies, that, you know, you can actually ultimately develop a much better relationship with the user and your brand and what you have to offer.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So I really want to talk about customer lifetime value and specifically how, sort of what it is, first of all, and specifically how that could be a safeguard against the sort of what looks like an imminent demise of cookie or tracking cookie effectiveness.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so customer lifetime value is not really a new concept, but broadly, we split the customer life cycle. So the relationship any business has with the customer down into three stages. So every business wants to find new customers. Once they've found new customers and engaged them for the first time, they want to prospect them to conversion. And once they've then converted them either to a product or a service or a subscription or whatever it is, that they want to grow, you know, sort of lifetime value by re-engaging that customer at, you know, sort of like a later stage. Now, you know, this is put under the broad, you know, auspices of customer relationship management, so CRM. And for any marketer listening, CRM is not a new thing. It's just that while programmatic display, which is the industry I'm, you know, in, has been widely used for finding new customers, and then this whole concept of prospect to conversion has been monikered retargeting. So those annoying ads that follow you, you know, wherever you go across every single browser.
Yes.
It's never really been used to grow lifetime value of the customer. And why is that? Well, it's really down to this complete reliance on third-party cookie deterministic matching. Now, I don't want to go into too much technical detail, but ultimately what deterministic matching is within a cookie, there is an online identifier. And that online identifier can be shared across the supply chain so that when that particular ID, and it'll be a pseudonymous ID that's stored in a cookie, appears on a particular website with a particular banner available for advertising, that can be passed down to the advertiser to then bid on that banner, to then serve a relevant ad to that particular customer. Now, that is what deterministic matching is used for. So that's what ad tech relies on at the moment, and it's all done using third-party cookies. Now, this methodology currently works well for only short periods. So, you know, the average cookie lifetime on most browsers is anywhere between 30 and 60 days. Actually, on Safari, it's 24 hours, as I previously said, and it's even shorter if, you know, their new ITP function, you know, so it kicks in. And, you know, with any new install on Firefox, it'll be exactly the same as Safari. So, you know, most businesses, you know, sort of can only dream of customers coming back and buying again within 2 months, let alone, you know, sort of a day. So this whole ad tech cookie model is really flawed for true CRM. However, you know, and this is the thing, and, you know, this new legislation, you know, the EPR is, you know, sort of potentially going to be passed, you know, so towards the end of 2019. So we're talking about, you know, so 12 months time.
Yeah.
But if you think about, you know, sort of the fact that, you know, the current way in which it's done is flawed, then, you know, actually working on how to get a trusted, explicit consent signal from the customer, and then not storing an ID within cookies, storing it, across other means, means that you can, you know, sort of breathe new life into the way in which you connect with customers through display, because it's now not a 30 to 60 day rule or a 24 hour rule. It's actually a rule that can be used, you know, across an entire lifetime. So to find new customers, to prospect them to conversion and to grow lifetime value. And ultimately, you know, customer lifetime value is all about getting the right customer to purchase first, and then getting them to re-engage and purchase again. And I'm talking, you know, sort of probably more about, you know, e-commerce than anything else here. But ultimately what it is trying to, you know, acquire that customer for, you know, a certain price, and then, you know, trying to grow, you know, the revenue delivered from that customer on an ongoing basis, engaging them with the right message at the right time with the right creative. So, you know, what about targeting without user consent? Because obviously, you know, sort of, you know, we've been working in the background on a solution that doesn't rely on cookies. But there are, you know, 20% of the occasions currently where users do not actually give consent at all. But within programmatic, there's actually lots of data that doesn't rely on users. So, you know, the one that does is stored within a cookie and is an online identifier. But, you know, you still got, you know, the weather, which Andy always talks about on his podcast. you know, you've got time, you've got broad geolocation, so city base, and you know, sort of, so programmatic doesn't just rely on this whole concept of cookie, but a large proportion of it does. And so it's about making sure that, you know, you are mitigating your risk by having a non-personal data strategy as well as a personal data strategy. And again, you know, these concepts are not new, but, you know, sort of for the non-personal data strategy, you know, there's a whole myriad of ambient non-personal data like website content, keywords on page, page quality, device, connection type, speed, all these type of things, you know, sort of that can actually be used to hone in to deliver the right message at the right time. But I think, you know, alongside that, because, you know, historically, programmatic advertising never needed to build a relationship with you know, sort of a customer, because all of the data gathering was based on implicit consent rather than explicit consent, which is where this is changing. You know, actually making sure that your creative is engaging and exciting, you know, has now been revived. I think there's been a lot of creative execution out there that just relies on quantity, not quality. But because now you're going to be asking, you know, for consent, you know, you're going to need to be able to deliver something interesting to that user. Otherwise, they're just going to restrict processing under GDPR, and you've lost them forever. So a lot of the creative formats that we're exploring as a business, you know, are now coming back to sharp focus. Videos on, you know, the rise. And the reason why video is on the rise is because generally that's something that consumers find more interesting, you know, to watch than more sort of static banners. So the whole dynamic creative element of programmatic is having a fantastic revival. So, I think if you understand the challenges that we have talked about in, you know, the first part brought along by GDPR and the second part brought along by, you know, sort of EPR, then as advertising continues to be digitized across multiple channels, you know, programmatic advertising as a business will become more important, as it will offer, you know, companies who embrace this the ability to overlay ID-based profiling alongside ambient data to give really strong, engaging, sequential creative and messaging across all these different formats to find new customers, prospect them to conversion and to grow lifetime value, ultimately allowing true customer lifetime value within display.
Well, Andy, it's been a fascinating talk. So we talked about GDPR, we've talked about the upcoming EPR or EPR and how that might change things. I think I'm quite hopeful, actually, that it's going to make marketers, I was going to say pull their socks up, but that is quite condescending to marketers, sort of change the way they connect with people, and perhaps a slightly more, I don't know, I'm going to be controversial, genuine way. What should we be thinking? Because we've covered a few things here. I mean, if there was one parting thought from you, Andy, on this whole subject for our audience, what might it be?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, there are so many moving parts. But I mean, for me, you know, I think, you know, the sun is rising, you know, without being too cheesy, the sun is rising on a new world where privacy is at the center of everything you do. And I think, you know, that is, you know, great for a marketer that wants to build, you know, a deeper relationship with, you know, a client and a customer. And I don't think it's changed too dramatically now, but the change is beginning. And, you know, certainly over the next 12 to 18 months, you know, we're going to see big changes globally. So, you know, this new dawn that, you know, I grandly call it, I think will be a mixture of embracing this legislative challenge, you know, giving that customer more transparency on their data, you know, enhancing interactions so that your permission to use that data is not taken away because you're not, you know, sort of following them around the web with, you know, messages that, you know, are intrusive.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, so finally, you know, I mean, with this whole consent, you know, piece, your hand is being forced to build a longer and more meaningful engagement with your customer, you know, to actually deliver real customer lifetime value. And I, for one, am really looking forward to it.
What a nice positive outlook. I like that. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about Crimson, Andy?
So you can visit the website on www.crimtan.com or you can email me on ahouston@crimtan.com. Houston is not spelt as in Texas. It's two O's, two U's. Or you can call us on +44 20 7821 6864.
Fantastic. And Crimtan is C-R-I-M for mother, T-A-N for November.
Correct, yes.
Thanks, Andy. So thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are on the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/impodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review on whatever device or app you wish. Questions and suggestions go to podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk, or you can tweet at sitevisibility. Not forgetting we have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy White, and it's all from our other Andy.
Yeah, thanks very much, Andy. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, Andy. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.